future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Today we have a very special show in store. So myself, Shane, the co-founder of SVK Crypto, and some of the team went down to the London FinTech Week. The London FinTech Week takes place here, obviously in London, and it's a phenomenal event that includes not only a lot of different fintech firms within London, but also a lot of different blockchain firms as well. It's got a really good mix between the two. So Shane was invited to speak on a panel today, and the panel discussion is something that we have recorded for you for today's show. The panel is called Insights on VC Investing. Now, the people on the panel were as follows. Moderating the panel was Daniel Dolph Steinberg, who's the co-founder of Blockchain Smokers and Atari Token. On the panel was Veronica Mihai, founding partner and head of investment at Bluewater Capital. You had Mary Silverson, who's a venture partner at 7bc.vc, and our very own Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto. So let's jump into the panel discussion. I hope you find as much value out of this as I did listening to it, and also the audience as well. So listen, let's jump into it and let's get down to business.
The latest trends in VC investing, 5 minutes early. There you go, that's not a trend that you see very often for VCs to be so early. So time punctual, so on point. I think I've just joined the end seat, so let's just see where this actually goes. All right.
Hey.
All right.
So thank you. Thank you everyone for staying and not having a coffee break. So this is trends in VC investing. I've got three people here who have been in investing for a long time, so pre-ICO, ICO, whatever's going on in the at the moment. So I think we're going to have an interesting conversation. Certainly the conversation we had in there was very fluid earlier, so there are a lot of differing opinions. And clearly we've been through this very interesting period in this space where we had for the first time a liquid market with the ICOs, which sort of changed everything, and I think that had some very big positives and where I sit, but some big negatives too, and I think we're sort of coming more traditional at the moment in this phase. So with me, I've got Veronica, Mary, and Shane. I thought I've got a few questions that came out of our conversation earlier, but I know that people are texting some up, so if you have questions that you want to ask, I think it's more appropriate from you. But I thought at the beginning I would let Veronica, Mary, and Shane just give a couple of minutes over their background because it's quite impressive. Please, Veronica.
Thank you, Daniel. So initially my background was management consulting until about 4 or 5 years ago when I started looking at Bitcoin, like most people. And then I started putting small amounts of money, invested my own, what I could afford at that time, and then got more involved into what followed with ICOs, and I've done some angel investing in for equity in traditional ways, let's call it that way, and also mining. And currently I'm head of investor relations and one of the founders of a cryptocurrency hedge fund, which provide solutions for institutional investors who trade the market and through systemic algorithmic trading.
And I'm Mary Silverstein. My background was in medicine. I was a consultant. I was doing my own investing in medical companies in stock. And as I got into that and went into the tech side, then I found Bitcoin. And I started finding ICOs and reading about a dozen a day for 2 years. I invested in over 40 ICOs on my own. I am now an advisor, a seed investor, and now I'm in a venture capital fund. I think tech is really the biggest part of our future, and it's a very important place for everyone to be investing, as we're really in a revolution at the moment. We're changing the world.
Well done. First of all, thank you so much to FinTech Week for having us here as a panelist and a discussion. I think it's amazing to see so many people in London coming together, and it's been an excellent event. The feedback has been phenomenal. So thank you so much for asking me down to speak. My name is Shane Kehoe. I'm one of the co-founders of SVK Crypto. SVK Crypto is a venture capital firm based here in East London. We manage capital on behalf of our clients. We have a $50 million fund. We invest into equity stakes. We're not interested in any ICOs, initial exchange offerings, or any type of tokens. We take equity, we take ownership. But what we bring to the table is an enormous amount of value. We've already made 4 investments. We're about to make another 2, and we're backed by the guys at Block One, which are the creators of the EOS.io token. We're passionate to the core about what we do. We live, eat, and breathe. We're laser focused, and we're also very much pushing London as the blockchain capital of the world. So thank you so much for having me on the panel today.
Thank you. Thanks for the really great background. But you know, both you've all mentioned sort of equity investing and ICOs and IEOs. So let's start with, from each of you, actually what the ICO market did. And you know, firstly, I think you know, in terms of expectations from companies that were involved, and what's the sort of fallout now for people like yourselves that are looking for equity investments, but also potentially looking for tokens too. Do you want to start, Veronica, on where you see that?
Personally, I see when ICOs came into picture, I think that what they tried to do is challenge the traditional funding methods. I don't think that it was a bad idea, and I believe that it was quite interesting. It gave a lot of startups access to funding, I can't say that that's a negative feature or trait of what ICOs were standing for. They were offering, obviously, because they were at the beginnings and they didn't have yet a platform and so on. They were practically doing what any startup does when it goes to a venture capital. But instead of offering equity, they were saying we're opening up to a community and we're giving you these tokens that you can later on use on our platforms. Now, that was a noble thought, and I think it was quite disruptive in its inception. However, human nature came into picture, and we were discussing this earlier, and I think that what spoiled it was greed. And it wasn't the fact that people thought it's a bad idea or a bad way of raising funds. It was merely the fact that people got greedy. People who didn't know or had no affiliation necessarily with blockchain or crypto, but people who thought that this is an opportunity to make quick money. And that's why you had a lot of a wave of ICOs coming and saying, oh, this is the magical platform, this is the magical token, this is what you can do. And not only that, but they were literally saying, you can make 10x in a month, or you can make 50x in whatever. And people paid for that. If you think about it, all the people that invested in those ICOs, they didn't think, what is the platform about? How am I going to use the token? Or what am I going to use with it? They thought exactly that. So when they lost money, they knew what they're getting into. They got into the greed. They got into, I'm going to get 50x of this token. And when they lost it, then they started shouting, wolf. Well, where is the regulator? Because I lost my money. Well, hold on a second. You didn't ask the regulator when you went on the platform and you bought tokens with the hope of making 50x. Right? Now we have IEOs, and okay, they're saying it's an ICO with a different hat, and which says, now we are backed by an exchange. The exchange takes all the decisions, the exchange does all the deals and everything. There is no transparency to that. With ICOs, you could say, well, you have a community of people that are actually coming together and investing in this. Right now, you have on the gate of the exchange. But then again, you have to look at, okay, are these exchanges regulated? Are these exchanges reliable? Who are they making deals with? Whose money are they taking? Whose money are you actually onboarding as a startup? What are you doing? Are you selling your soul? Or are you building a solution?
I just think to add on to that, a fool and his money were lucky enough to get together in the first place. Business is tough. It doesn't matter what you wrap it in, whether it's an IPO, whether it's an ICO, whether it's an initial exchange offering. Business is really, really tough. It's tough to execute. It's tough to stay in the game. It's tough to have a product and a service and its timing, let alone even a blockchain component to it. Business is tough. Just look at when you go back and look at the early internet days, and you look at the technical revolution and the IPOs that traded in the late 1990s. When you look at the amount of companies that listed back then that are still around today, there's a 90% failure rate. And they went through the IPO process. So they had an investment banking team, they had their due diligence, the lawyers, some were pre-revenue. It was tough back then. It's even tougher now. So for these businesses, and I think what you're getting to say is that it was a speculative investment, And the majority, I think there was 902 ICOs in 2017. By 2018, January 1, 46% of those 902 ICOs were trading with no liquidity. When you got to the end of 2018, that figure was like 99.99% recurring. Great ideas, but that's all they were. Execution is a totally different aspect, and it was difficult for them to do it, and so early on as well. So
Merrill, based on that, you were talking passionately about STOs earlier. How do you think that moves on from what Veronica
said? So crowdfunding already existed. Businesses have failed 90% across the board for history. None of this is new. Now we have things like stocks that we can turn digital, assets that we can turn digital, part of a building, a part of a painting that we can turn digital. And if we can have legalized trading sites that are 24/7, I think that that's our goal. I think that this is global, and that's also a big goal here. They do have to be regulated, they have to be legal, and at first they're going to be only accredited investors. I'd like to see the whole world get involved together in investing and not have to be credited, which was what Bitcoin was based on, but we're not there yet, and all of this will take time. The STOs are being built, they are growing. There are 25 software companies right now that are helping the companies tokenize. And there are countries all over this world that are going to start giving licenses. It will not be the United States, not for a while, but they will follow the regulations of the US. You will see them within the year 2019. That will be traded 24/7. So yeah, I'm a big fan of that. It's the future.
And Shane, I mean, you're very heavily involved in equity now. What do you think, because I think we're in a long-term phase now, do you think we're going to get back to a stage where we're going to have a liquid secondary market? What do you think that's going to do to people like you in terms of managing the investments that you look after if it ever happens, or do you think we're stuck with equity?
Okay, so let's reverse engineer this. When we look at the space, we're making a call on where is the value going to be increasing? Where is the value going to be generated in the next 5 to 10 years? I'm a firm believer that the next wave of multi-billion dollar IPOs that will list on the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, the Nordmark, the London Stock Exchange, will be coming out of this space. That I am absolutely sure of. The next billion dollar companies, like that we've seen with the sharing economy, like what we've seen with the social media, with Facebook, Lyft, Uber, the next billion dollar companies will be coming out of this space. And it's our job now to source, analyze, invest, and befriend the next Mark Zuckerbergs, the next entrepreneurs, the next companies, the next devs, the next other venture capital firms, that when that happens, we're going to be right there. So when we look at the space, we want to be aligned with the original co-founders of these entities. And when we look at the structures of those ownerships, they have equity. Now, in the future, they might have some type of token generation event, or they might have one of these offerings. That's fine. We'd be more than happy to take our slice of tokens at that point. But at this point, when we look at the corporate structures of all those entities, they're all taking equity. So we believe that in the future, when there'll be M&A activity, when we'll start to see acquisitions of these entities, it might not happen around the token, but it's definitely going to happen around the equity. Also, we're managing a fund, so I don't want to deal with swings of volatility. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm running a token fund and I'm marked to market and my fund is up and down 30%. I want to sleep at night. And also, I don't want to have redemptions whereby someone gets spooked out who doesn't know what they're doing, investing in our fund. Like, well, you're down 30%, let me redeem my money, then I've got to sell the tokens, then it knocks on and affects my overall positions. So taking equity in a traditional VC manner, we're very, very comfortable with. We're long term. Like, our fund is an 8 to 10 year fund. Really, I've got a 20-year view on the space. And I'm not going to make any decision that's going to be short term, because the real winnings will be in 10 years time when we're talking about adoption. The real winnings will be when we see M&A. The real winnings is when we have actually businesses with sustainable business models, with revenue generation, has mass adoption. Like, we've seen this all happen before. It was called the internet. I remember going back into the late 1990s and going to an IPO meeting with Goldman Sachs, and the analyst in that particular IPO was valuing that business on eyeballs. The amount of people that looked at the website, he could generate some type of valuation around it. It was obscene, of course it was. But that's where we are right now. So stay in the game, think long term, pick your winners, and let them do what they want to do.
We're on it here, I know. So how are we going to find these companies? I mean, you were talking earlier about words being very important. You know, blockchain isn't the word that people talk about. So, you know, are these companies going to come forward? Do you have to go and look for them? What's your view on that?
I think that when I said words are important, depends where those words are used. And I was referring especially to the UK, because I do go to a lot of events and a lot of meetups and so on and conferences. And I do see people in the UK actually shying away from words crypto and blockchain, and sometimes I wonder why. And they go and they say, oh, I'm not a blockchain company, I am a DLT. And I'm like, okay, whatever floats your boat. But ultimately the technology is there, and that's what you're using. So I don't know why they choose that. I guess it's mainly because of whatever happens in the press and also regulators and how regulators in the UK classify these assets and tokens and so on, which we have seen recently, and what guidelines they come up with. Now, how do we find these companies? I think that if you look around, in my opinion, the trends right now are for larger corporations and organizations to engage in a lot of mergers and acquisitions, mainly acquisitions actually. And they will acquire technology companies that are startups that come up with some solutions. Of course, there are others that we are already seeing developing their own in-house solutions. I think that the trend is for blockchain as a service. A lot of big corporations will come up with solutions for, you know, let's say if you are a company and you want to adopt blockchain and implement that blockchain in your business ecosystem, then there will be, you know, companies or there bigger ones that will say, okay, here is a package, this is blockchain as a service that we can offer you. And all these third parties that are filling up the ecosystem with whatever they feel it's needed and where the gaps are. And I think that's how they will start, you know, gathering momentum and so on. So there will be STO related. I think that we see a lot of movement in the UK with regards to property. There is a regulatory sandbox that government is offering and saying, okay, here you go, have your solution and work it out and see, prove it to me, prove that it works. And I know actually the gentleman who's running the company was saying, who's looking at other businesses that want to digitize and tokenize their assets. What will that do? Well, think of small to medium businesses and think of real estate having access not only to UK market but to the global market.
Your question was, how do you find them?
Yeah.
Right. So how do you find them? Well, what do you do? Like, do you sit behind a computer and just think that they're going to find you? Do you actually go out and add value? Do you actually go out and build communities? Do you add value to individual investors? Do you build a platform so that you can get companies whereby it's not just about them selling you, you have to sell them. It's a relationship with regards to venture capital. It's not what they bring to the table, it's what you bring to them. How can you help them? Can you work on their branding? Can you help build relationships within the space? Can you network across your other portfolio companies? Can you sit on the board? Can you introduce them to further capital? Can you help them execute their business? It's a two-way relationship within venture capital.
So what you're talking about is advising.
I'm not talking about advising. I'm talking about getting stuck into an investment that you're passionate about and managing
but
and maintaining
them
for that 10 years. Yeah, absolutely.
And sticking with them.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's like when you have that reputation of actually ownership and supporting and digging in, then companies will come and find you. But it's got to be a fit. Not everything fits perfect. It's a relationship. And you have to help them succeed in every way because you are being judged on their success. But how we find them here at SVK Crypto is we do so many things for the community. We've got an awesome network, and we do that by giving it all away, bringing people together, having meetups, creating content, being front forward and facing and jumping on planes and really, really building it. This space is so nascent right now. It's not like we're going into an equity market or a real estate market or a commodity market where there is already the big incumbents based in the space. If you're willing to get out and connect, as I know my fellow panelists are because I see you all the time then, and you're willing to add value and be a connector, it's not where the space is now. It's where it's going to be in 10 years and 20 years' time. And for me, it's all about building those relationships now and not even worried about monetizing them. That will all come in the future. So give out to get back.
I totally agree with that. And if you look at it in general, and if we are really honest, business happens through networks. you don't just go blindly and invest in something or the other. Okay, you do, but how do you get to know them, right? You get to know them because, oh, Shane knows me and I know him, and he says, oh, this is a good idea, or I say, hey, this is a good idea, or Mary, here, we set up something together, or whatever it is.
God, I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, I wish it was, but sometimes it works. That's what the network is all about. That's what the community is all about. And knowing, you know, you learn who to trust, you learn how to actually look at these. I mean, ultimately finding them is finding people. Because when you invest in these companies, not only you grow them, but you invest in the people running them.
For sure. People is a major key.
But we are going through a bit of a winter now, so a lot of people that would have started a blockchain company might be thinking, again, Mary, do you think there's, you know, that's what I meant by finding, you know, people are reticent to use the words and say, I want to build these businesses because of that. You have to sort of do much more engagement to find them rather.
Yes,
than
I think the
out.
Community exists all over the world. And we go to conferences all over the world. We go to meetups all over the world. We're in chat rooms all over the world. I read things that are sent to me from people all over the world. And I have to look at the product itself. What is the use case? Why would people use it? Will it adapt? Who are the people behind it? What have they done? Where are they coming from? Do they have the ability to sustain this? What are their goals? What is their timeline? All of that is important, and also would other people want to invest? And, you know, what will they perform, and how long will it take? And so all of that matters. And do we all build relationships? Yes, we do. And do a lot of us know each other in the space? Yes, we do.
And just coming back onto your winter, and I think we're somewhat out of the crypto winter, more crypto thaw. I think that actually within the last year, the best projects, the best protocols, actually, what I've seen from the tech side, the best amount of product being built has actually happened in the last year. It didn't happen as the markets were going parabolic. I mean, when you start to see what's happened across other protocols and other projects, I've started to see a flight to quality, less noise, and actually real tech being built out. And what we've really noticed, and this is obviously based around fintech, but we've seen amazing projects on the fiat on-ramp and off-ramp. We've seen more custody products offered for institutional investors. And you've also seen some institutional type trading platforms as well that I know that a lot of the big hedge funds have started to use. And they've all been built out in the last year. So I think actually, I find that the best projects are built in the toughest times. And certainly you'll find projects that are just more leaner when the market is a little bit tighter. So I think it's been a wonderful last 12 to 18 months.
I agree with Shane, and why I'm saying that is because when hype is on, everybody looks like a winner. But when the winter comes, that's pretty much when you see who's frozen and cracked. And then what is left over, and if these companies that went through the winter could actually survive and started building something, that's where, you know, that's where the real value is. And if I have to, let's say, if I was a VC right now and I was investing in companies, I would look at those who has been building in the last 12 to 18 months. Who has something to show me in these months? It doesn't matter they were, you know, out of their dining room or wherever, it's because they were left without funds or whatever, you know, they didn't have any more money. The point is, have they strived onwards? Do they have skin in the game? Have they built something? Are they still out there? If they still exist, for me, they are at least worth looking at.
Yeah. We've only got 3 minutes left. I was hoping we were going to get some audience questions. Does anyone have something to ask? Sorry?
Questions. Let's just put it up on the screen. But one of the earlier panels was saying if you're a woman and you want investment, you have to go to Austin, Texas. Is there any money?
Why is that?
Because they're investing in women's founders there. How about London? How is it for women founders?
Mm. Interesting. Okay, I'm London-based. I guess I should take the hit for this one. I think, no, last week we had a whole meetup based on, you know, what it is to be a woman in blockchain, and how do you get funding, and how do you build a community here, and how do you make your voice heard, and so on. Ultimately, men and women have same fear somewhere underneath. Whether they express it or not, that's a different ball game together. Maybe women are slightly more perfectionist, and they usually tend to dive in into things or start a venture when they feel more comfortable that they have enough knowledge and enough resources. But how is it to be a woman here? Sometimes tough, sometimes okay. But what I would say to any woman who is willing to start something or who wants to venture and start her own business and whatever, You don't have to think of things by, you know, I'm a woman, or how do I make, you know, I have to be different than what I am. Just be true to yourself. That was the whole thing that we discussed last week. Be true to yourself. Whatever you have, whether you consider it a weakness or what, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You don't have to change for the world. Ultimately, the world will change for you. Why I'm saying that? Because as long as women are not true to themselves and they don't look at their own qualities when they start a business, then there will be no change out there. There is no point in going to a boardroom and having a power position like a man or banging on the table. That's not, if that's not your nature, don't do it. Just be yourself.
Just
and that's
build
it.
Kick-ass tech. Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowledge, confidence, and fearless.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Nobody's right.
Okay, microphone up here, please. There's an excited woman in the front.
I am very excited. What regarding London's performance I came last week, I want to say, Veronica, she's from Bluewater. I'm from Bluewater.
Yeah,
and we've got more women than
men. Hold on, you
guys
work together?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a loaded question? Or is
no, I think she's rooting for me here.
Can I come and jump on a seat? Yeah.
Nothing like that. I just wanted to say, you know, yes, in our company we've got more women than men. And what she said, yes, it's not just a bossy thing. And yes, we, you know, just two life, leading two life. When I talk sometimes, oh, Veronica, do you do that? Oh, yes, I do that. But it's different, like when you're office. So, yes.
Give that girl a bonus,
yeah?
When are you getting your bonus?
No.
Give her a bonus.
We actually,
give her a pay rise.
Thank you. We are quite a fair company. And,
thank you.
Usually the heckling.
We do have three women in my
panel.
Yeah.
We've got a panel who's heckling the audience here. One more audience question and we might have to move them on. They're being a bit troublesome. Okay, one up the front here.
It's all women.
Yeah.
It started a trend.
Yes.
It's less of a question and more of an observation. Because I'm looking to be able to help build the ecosystem to allow more women to come to space and to thrive. And so I had an idea of the name, and I thought, okay, I'd better see if that name's been taken. And it's about the winter and the thaw. So for the URL, for a .net, .co, .uk, etc., it had a bundle of £13. But if I wanted it .io, it was £70. So I think there was maybe a bit more interest than the thaw. The thaw rather than the priest.
Because of the domain name.
Because
is
of the .io at the end.
So what did you buy?
The bigger pie.
Okay. The bigger pie dot com or £70. Daniel, back to you. You're the chair of this panel.
Thank you.
Can you take control?
I've been womenized or whatever the word is. But anyway,
I think we're equal.
I just want to say to Jane, she runs this show and she's a woman, so there you go. Look how great it is. If I
well done, Jane. Well done.
If I was going to get the three of you alone. And ask you one question. I was at an event a few weeks ago, and one of the companies I created, a VC put it on the board as one of the $1 trillion possibilities in this space, which made me shocked. If I asked each of you, where do you think the first $1 trillion blockchain company, new company, not a Mercedes that decides or whatever, or Facebook that does legal, where, what space or what platform is it going to be built on? What do you think is going to create?
Just to be clear, when you're looking at $1 trillion, are you talking about market capitalization?
Market cap, not a token.
Mm-hmm. Why does that actually really matter?
I'm just
like $1 trillion. Like, who gives a shit? Like, when you're looking at the market capitalization, like, you're looking at the value of the equity, right? So, is that the right way to look at it? Are we not looking at? Should it be like, a billion people that are now unbanked? Should it not be a billion people that are now using a decentralized ledger? Should it not be a billion people that now have property rights or voting? Like, maybe that's the wrong way to look at that market cap. It should be looking at how you're going to make the world a better place by solving people's problems which aren't solved by its current centralized systems. That's where you should be looking. That's where I'm.
So this is an investor panel, so I was trying to get some people some advice of where to look in terms of finding.
If you solve that, you're all going to do really well. Don't worry about how am I going to get money. It's like, how is this going to get solved? Because that bigger picture will make everyone wealthy.
But then you're saying something like getting your first billion users is going to create the first. So which sector is going to get the first billion users?
Okay, so to really answer your question, to give you some value, when you're looking at mass adoption, where do you see that happening first? I think for us at SVK Crypto, we're very passionate about the gaming space. When you look at the history of gamers and you understand how they've been mining gold and they have in-game assets, when you look at the youth of today, that's where you really have to look. And when you see any kid between 6 and 12 years old, as I'm sure that you all have children in the audience, look at where their attention is. It's not looking at a bus shelter. It's not looking at the TV. They're on your phone, and they're playing a game which has an in-game economy. So when you're looking at how we'll see that users go parabolic, I believe it will be one of the verticals of that will be in the gaming space. We've already started to see that initially. And what we've seen with regards to the gaming space is a lot of projects being built out on the EOS.io protocol, which is fastable and scalable, and which has got the adoption of
okay,
that.
Okay, that's a pitch.
Okay.
My last one.
Can I rephrase the question to Mary then? Where are we going to see the first market adoption of the
future is AI and blockchain combined. I think something that the entire world will be using together to probably communicate and or buy and or share our money is the future. That is what we do every day, no matter who we are. That's just a way of part of survival. So putting it together somehow is going to work. I think AI is going to be a lot bigger than everybody in this room recognizes.
That's what to you.
Sure, thank you. If we look at trends, you would say fintech. And I think that if you look at, I know Libra is Facebook and so on, and I don't know which one will be the next company, whether it will be a company that emerges itself and offers something that can take on Libra necessarily. But if you look at growth, I think that probably payments, it's still the area that will grow for now. AI is there, I recognize that, and gaming is there. It depends on the number of years that we're looking on. Are we looking next 5 years, next 10 years, next 20 years?
Okay.
Each stage will have its own focus, I guess.
So payments, AI, and token. And
you will see $1 trillion.
Feminist panel. Absolutely. We had women in blockchain. We had pitching. We had social impact. And there was a couple of comments from a VC. So let's thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Well, listen, thank you so much for your time and attention. As always, if you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto podcast. Hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. If you have any EOS project you want us to review, feel free to send it to me. My email is cstory, cstory@svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.